Do you have a copy of? Whoa. If you have a copy of the outline, you know we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there, and so we're going to go through this rather quickly. I'm sorry for the small print if you received one, but had some things we want to cover. And all of this comes about because we read Jonah this week. And every time I read the book of Jonah, I'm always reminded of a professor of mine. When I was at Freed Hardeman, I always say my college education started my freshman year at Freed Hardeman University in the class of Dr. Thomas Warren, because the one thing he taught, which is I think the one thing we all need to be taught when we go to college or when we're in high school, is to read carefully and to read critically and to think critically. And that he demanded of us, and that he enforced upon us, and that is something that's going to be demonstrated from him in our lesson for today. There's a little word, three letters, that is used in connection with Jonah by Jesus, and that little word becomes very important. We're going to be looking, first of all, at three different passages. If you want to turn and look at them, you can. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 is one of the passages that begins to describe for us baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, Jesus will say to his disciples, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth, and I want you to go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And baptize them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So baptism is for disciples. It's for believers. We do not practice a baptismal generation where it doesn't matter if you believe or not. It doesn't matter what your thought process is. It doesn't even matter if you know anything about Jesus or not. Baptism will automatically regenerate you. That's not what the Bible teaches. And that's not what we believe and not what we practice. We baptize disciples, those who've made a decision, those who've made a decision to follow Christ, those who've made a decision that they will recognize him as Lord and as Savior and cause him or allow him to be the Lord of their life. When they make that decision, then Jesus says, go make disciples and baptize them. Baptize those who become disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter says that baptism comes after repentance, after a decision to be a disciple and a follower of Christ, and after a decision to turn away from myself and allow Christ to be the Lord of my life. And it's for the forgiveness of sins, and it's to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When Cornelius was baptized, Peter lets us know in Acts 10, verse 47 and 48, that baptism is in water. Who can forbid the water that these would be baptized into Christ? And then baptism is a command. And Peter immediately then commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, which they were. John 1, 12 through 13 says, but as many as received him, to them, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Acts 2:38, I've emphasized the little word. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for, that's the little word. It's a three-letter Greek word. It's a three-letter English word. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is this little word for? It's the word, now why did that do that? I checked that last night, and I checked it this morning, and I realized that my computer has a hard time with Greek. I wrote it in Greek, and it doesn't even spell it right in English. It's supposed to be E-I-S. which is Epsilon Iota Sigma. It's supposed to be EIS and it's EIJ, but already our sound booth champion is working hard to put an S in there. And it'll be there for next service, but it's not there now. Thayer defines it in this way: a preposition governing the accusative case and denoting entrance into or direction and limit, and is defined as, or translated into English as, into, to, toward, for, or among. To help a little bit with that, there's a chart. And I have this chart, but there's a lot of them available. If you'd like to look at even more detailed charts than this, all you have to do is do a search on Greek prepositions chart. And there'll be a bunch of them that will come up. And there's one that gives you more prepositions than this, outlines it in the same way, but they give you the English word along with the Greek word if you want to do a little bit of a study on your own. And again, this chart has completely messed up. It has tried to, it did not put the Greek in. It just simply messed up. I'm sorry. So let me give you the prepositions. This is the word in. It means you're in. The word that we're looking at is this word. It's ace. It's a change of relationship. And it means into. And you were outside. Now you come into. And now you are in. Opposite of that is the word ek, which means out of. Dia means going through, and you don't need to know all the rest of them. We're just looking at this one, which is supposed to be EIS. There is no comma, and it's not a J, it's an S. And that simply means into. That's the definition of this word. Here's why I mention it. My professor, Dr. Warren, had a debate with a man, Dr. Ballard. And this debate was over the subject of baptism. And in the process of this debate, Dr. Ballard asked Dr. Warren a question. And the question had a purpose behind it. And because Dr. Warren thought critically, he recognized where the question was going, and he recognized the problem with the question. And so he clarified it in the debate. And the question that Dr. Ballard asked was this: did the people of Nineveh repent in order to get Jonah to preach to them, or because Jonah preached to them? There's the question. The people of Nineveh, and this is from our reading this morning, when Jesus is talking about the people of Nineveh will rise up and judge this generation because they repented. And then a statement is made about Jonah and his preaching. And the word ace is used there. That little Greek preposition, ace, is used in that verse. And that's why Dr. Ballard raises this question. Did the people of Nineveh repent in order to get Jonah to preach to them, or because Jonah preached to them? Neither answer is correct. Neither answer is right. Do you see the problem? Do you see why you cannot answer with either one of these choices? There are more choices. And that's where looking at it, thinking about it critically, and thinking about what the purpose is helps. So let's go to what it says. The way Dr. Warren handled this was, I am happy to accept it the way the Bible describes it. I am happy to accept our English translations of the phrase. Most translations will not say because. Most translations will not say the second choice that Dr. Ballard gave. Most translations will say, and you can check yours out to see which one it has, that the people of Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. You see, the problem is it has nothing to do with Jonah. It's not about Jonah. They're not repenting because Jonah preached to them. Jonah has nothing to do with it. They're repenting at the message. at the message that they heard. And Jonah is not the reason. He's the deliverer of the message. The New English translation, and the message will, instead of using the word at, they will say, the people of Nineveh repented when Jonah preached to them. But again, it's not Jonah. It's not about Jonah. It's about the message. And they responded to that message. We're going to talk a little bit more about Jonah tonight. And I think it's going to be a very important lesson. Especially if you're having a hard time forgiving God or forgiving other people. I hope you'll be with us tonight when we take a look at that. Two passages I'm going to put up. These were also put up in Greek. This will be the last time that I ever try to do that in this. But, oh man, it even messed that up. What I wanted to show you, and you cannot see this at all, is this is the phrase for the remission of sins. And the reason I wanted you to see it is because, well, it does it pretty well there. These two phrases are exactly the same in Greek, but this is not Greek at all. I have no idea what that language is, but this is not Greek. But those two phrases are identically the same, and this recognized that and put them up there. Now, I wanted to help you with it, so here are those two verses. We'll put it in English. Acts 2:38 is the first one. Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The second passage is Matthew 26:28. "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." The phrase "for forgiveness of sins" is identical in both passages. And the whole idea that Dr. Ballard was trying to get across is you are baptized because your sins are forgiven is not accurate. And it's not the way the Bible is translated. And here we can see it. Because you would not put the word "because of" in Matthew 26:28. You would not define this little word "ace" with the word "because." Because if you did that, it would read, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many because your sins have been forgiven." No, our sins weren't forgiven. And that's why Jesus was then baptized, because our sins had already been forgiven. Jesus was baptized in order for our sins to be forgiven. And that's the meaning of this little word "ace" in Matthew 26:28. And it's exactly the same phrase in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death?" Keep that phrase in mind. It's going to become important as we finish up. "Do you not know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." You can know when you became a Christian. You can know when others became a Christian. The Apostle Paul points that out. He writes in his letter to the church at Rome, "Greet Andronicus and Junias, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who were outstanding among the apostles, and who also were in Christ before me." They came into Christ before Paul did. They became Christians before Paul did. They knew when that happened. Paul knew when that happened. And he knew it was before he became a Christian. "For if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel." I'm the one who brought you into Christ through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through teaching you the good news about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, to kind of nail that all down, look at Romans chapter 6 with me. Romans chapter 6, I want you to read with me what Paul says in verses 17 and verse 18, where he's describing to the Romans their time, or when they became Christians, then he says this. Chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching, the blueprint, the pattern, the image, the likeness. What's the teaching? The gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the gospel of Jesus Christ? His death, burial, and resurrection. What is the likeness of that teaching? You are buried with Christ in baptism. Why are you buried? Because you've died. You've died to yourself. And now you're going to live for Him. You've made a decision to follow Christ. Having made that decision to die to yourself and live to Him, you are buried with Him in baptism. And you rise to walk in newness of life. So then, having obeyed from the heart that pattern of teaching that has claimed your allegiance, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. When did I do this? When you went through the pattern of His death, burial, and resurrection. When you from your heart decided Christ was Lord, and I will turn from myself and I will follow Him. And you were baptized into His death, which means the benefits of His death. And you, like Him, died to yourself, were buried like Him, and rose like Him from that grave to walk in newness of life. And perhaps that's the reason this little Greek word, into, is used in connection with, into, the forgiveness of sins, which is the little word that ties with Jonah, that Jesus uses in connection with Jonah. Are you in Christ? Have you been baptized into Him? Do you need to come home to Christ? If you need to respond to His invitation, we offer it to you as together we stand and as we sing. When we